Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for all the people that brought in food. We'll be putting the baskets together at the end of the service. They asked me to keep my message down to an hour and a half today so we would have time to do that. Many of you know we had these neighbors across the street. They had this little boy, Corey, that Kathy and I just fell in love with, and they moved away, and a new family moved in there, Danielle and William Turk. A young couple, 30 years old, and they have twin boys who are 5. Well, we've been loving on them, and they asked Kathy to watch the kids, pick them up from school every day, and she spends 2 hours with them every day. Well, a couple months back, they asked, you know, about church and stuff because they weren't going to church. They're from New York and lived in Leesburg for a while, and Kathy and I recommend in Percival Baptist form because it's a church close to our home and we hear good things about it. I know one of the pastors there. Well, anyway, this week on Tuesday when Kathy was watching the kids, she said she asked the boys, don't you love your mommy? Oh, yeah, we love our mommy. Well, how about your daddy? Yeah, we love our daddy and we love Jesus too. And Kathy, wow, that's great. So when the mom came home, Kathy told them what they said, and she said, today, their kids are getting dedicated to Percival Baptist. That just melts me. I have a little picture of them up there. That's them. We took them to McDonald's one day. It's Adrian and Cameron. I still can't figure which one is which. Kathy knows. I don't know. One has a mohawk, which helps me a lot. But they wanted to wear the Happy Meal. If anybody ever heard of a Happy Meal, that's what that is. But they're getting dedicated today. You know, and that just melts me. And then Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, we ate lunch, Elizabeth, Melissa, and baby Jay and I. And I got a text from the daddy who used to live in that house, Corey's dad, Chris Morrison. I wanted to read it to you because it's powerful. It's like the greatest text I've ever received in my life. The last 2 days, this is Chris Morrison texting me. The last 2 days, I've been aware that things that I have prayed for that have happened in my life. Not sure why I've been thinking about this, but I have. I would love the opportunity to learn more about Jesus if you have time. I mean, that melted me. And it's just, you know, they lived across from us 15 years and we loved on them and did things together. We could never get them here, but, you know, praise God. So I texted Chris back. I said, thank you so much for that text and reaching out. That's probably the best text I've ever received in my life. I said, let's try to hook up this weekend. I'll get back with you. And we're going over there at 4 o'clock today. So if you think about it, just pray for grace and that the Lord will speak. Because when I pull this out, I just want to, well, look at this verse and look at that verse and think about that. And I just want to give my testimony, you know, and share about what the Lord has done in my life and what a blessing it is I get to come and share with you all. I love being here with you. I love working here, being a part of this. I love the staff. I love the elders. I love you all. Last Sunday, I talked about evil because there's evil in the world, you know, and when we see all these tragedies and these shootings and these killings and these philosophies and things that are being spread about, we kind of ask ourselves as Christians, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to react in this generation? And I gave you 3 things last week from Ephesians chapter 6, and I just want to review it real fast because it'll coincide with what I talk about today. But you have to understand there is a reality of spiritual warfare that goes on here 24/7. It never stops. I gave you 3 main points. One is there's reality of spiritual warfare. And 2, God gives us the resources that we need to combat the evil that's in this world. And we talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, which is where we share our faith. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And then I said the third thing was the readiness of the spiritual warfare. And I talked about prayer. I got a little bit passionate about it last week. I apologize if you were offended. I really didn't mean it. You all never pray because I know some great prayer warriors that attend this church. And I was just passionate about really in my own life of just finding time to get together with you and just pray and just seek the Lord. And God is good. And I feel like in order for us to use the armor to combat the evil that's going on in this nation and in this world, we need to pray. And I gave this story about Tony Evans sharing about this young man who really knew the Lord, but he really wasn't practicing. You know, he really wasn't fellowship or going to church and getting in the Word. And there, he's with a bunch of guys, and the boat's going to go down, and they're worried all about dying. So they go to this guy who says he's a Christian, but he just hasn't been worshiping and fellowship. And they asked him to pray, and so he went to pray, Lord, you know, forgive me because I really haven't talked to you in 15 years. But if you could save us today, I won't bother you for another 15 years. So that was just the story that he shared. And I put, that's how a lot of us look at prayer. It's the thing we do when everything else has failed. Everything that we've tried to do on our own strength. And we don't pick it up and do it again till the situation again. And I truly believe that God honors consistent prayer life. He honors that. The devil knows the power of prayer. The devil does everything. There's an enemy. There's a devil. There's demons. They do everything to distract you and crowd your schedule with stuff so you don't have time to be with God. He'll try to tell you that prayer doesn't work. And we really need, as a church family, personally, corporately, to stand together, stand strong in the power of God using the weapons that He has provided with us. Because when we fight the battles that are going on in this nation and in the world, God's way, using His weapons and in His strength, who knows what He will do among us. It's powerful. So this morning you see from the message, it's really a title for me as well, Don't Fret, But Trust. Don't fret when you're going through trials and tribulations. Don't fret when you see someone, you know, walking away from God or not following God. Trust in God. And Psalm 37 is what really these 2 weeks came about. Just four quick points. One, He will not forsake His saints. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He'll always be there for you. His arms will always reach out. And that's what I want our church to do. Always be ready to reach out to people. Here's the verses. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. Isn't that a beautiful exclamation point? I love that. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb, the scripture says. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Every day, think about that. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do good for you. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Faithfulness is so important. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's a great verse to have memorized in your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And what are your desires? You know, to love my wife like Christ loved the church. What are my desires as to help our church family grow? What is my desire to be a witness in my neighborhood or wherever He takes me? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you desires of the Lord. And He gives you these things to do that will help you in your walk in combating evil. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord. Very important. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Think about that. So in the midst of all the killings, all the tragedies, all the lies and things that are going on, He tells us in those eight verses three times, fret not. He tells us to trust in Him twice. He tells us delight. He tells us to commit. He tells us to be still. He tells us to refrain from anger. He tells us to forsake wrath. And we need that because you see a lot of wrath being lived out in things. You know, once again this week, two policemen killed. It's tough to see that. It's tough to see people who are dedicating their lives, soldiers, police, firemen, dedicating our lives to help us. So as Christians, how should we should really not be surprised of the evil that we're seeing in the world. And I thought about Jesus in John 16. He said, I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Here's Jesus talking to his disciples there in the upper room. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming. And tell me if you have not seen this lived out in the world the last few years. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming. Whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they will do these things. Why? Because you ask the question, why? Why are they doing these things? Why do you see these beheadings in other countries? They will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me, Jesus said. But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. So one, he will not forsake his saints. Two, there's going to be tribulation. Later on in the same chapter, Jesus gives us some more warnings about tribulation, but he gives us hope as well. Because when you're reading the Bible, he's going to tell you about tribulation, but you're always there with hope. Look at this, John 16, 32 and 33. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. And when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, Jesus said. For the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what tragedy, you can have peace because of him. And then he tells us, in the world you're going to have tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Isn't that beautiful? 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. The enemy will never be able to outdo God. The enemy will not ever be bigger than God. So number three, there will be persecution by evil people and imposters. Very important. I want to read a few verses from 2 Timothy 3. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Raise your hand. How many people want to live a godly life? How many people want to live a godly life? The Word of God tells us all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then Paul tells his protege, Timothy, and he's telling us here today at this church, but as for you, continue. Continue. Look at your neighbor and say, continue. It's so important that we continue in the faith, continue to grow in our relationship with God, continue to worship, continue to spend time in the Word and fellowship. It's so important. So continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And the last point I want to give you before we do this outreach project, there's always hope. If you're going through a tragedy in your life, someone in your family struggling, someone you know is going through a tough time, there's always hope in Christ. And I want to close with Romans 8, 37 and 39. Keith, you might have to get the ushers together because I don't see a couple of them here, praise God. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So when you hear these things, I'm thinking to myself, well, what does the scriptures tell us earlier in verse 35? These are the things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword. Those are the things that we're going to go through as Christians. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can stand fast upon his word. We can fellowship with one another, encourage one another, and pray with one another, and get in the Word of God. For I'm sure, and I'll close with this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's something we can stand upon and sing about and worship with each other and fellowship with each other. We're blessed here. Father, I just want to give you the glory today, Lord. Thank you for your word, Father. Help us to realize that even though we see these evils and these tribulations come about, because your word tells us that in the latter days, people depart from the faith. People would listen to demons and doctrines that aren't true and philosophies and follow other gods. But you are Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, that we'll spend every day the rest of our lives thanking you, Father. We think about in this season of Thanksgiving, Father, thank you for our families. Thank you for our spouses. Thank you for our kids, Lord. Thank you that we can come together and free to worship you and give you the glory. Thank you for the worship today, Father. Thank you that we can come together, Lord, and think about the people that don't have a home, the people that are homeless. And as we gather these baskets together today, Father, I just pray that when the people receive these baskets and they feel the love that we have, that we'll be praying for them and tell you to do a mighty work in them, to tell you that to do a work in them like you've done in our own lives, Father. So as we get ready to take this offering, Father, I just give you the glory, Lord. Have the band come up. We're going to close because we always want to close with opening up the altar. We always want to close with worshiping you just like we did before we heard your word, Father. So, Father, as we take this offering, Father, up, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for blessing us with all the people in this congregation, Lord. Thank you for all the food that's been coming in and the funds that have been coming in, Father. We're just doing that because this is our storehouse. This is our home. This is our place where we unite together and pray together and get in the Word together and fellowship together and worship together and give together, Father. So I ask you to bless our time in Jesus' name. And we all open up this altars for those who need prayer for anything, Father. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.